Well, howdy, everyone. It's really good to be back with you again. I'm glad to be able to communicate with you the gospel. Now, I'm assuming that most, maybe all, of those who are watching this are Christians. But it's the Christian who needs to hear the gospel. Because so many people who are, quote, saved, don't know what they're saved from. They don't know how they're saved. They don't know, really understand the gospel, this amazing story, the grace of God. And the gospel is, the good news is, that God rescued you from your fallen, broken condition by placing you into the unbroken condition of Jesus himself. And that the person that you once were, with all of their brokenness and all of their guilt, in the person of Christ was crucified. In other words, you, the guilty sinner, yeah, the serial sinner, the slave to sin, with all the guilt, died on the cross in the person of Jesus and was buried. And you were raised up in the person of Jesus, one with him, sharing his life now, which makes you a new creation. Now, the word righteousness is really important. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the transformation process of growing into the reality, growing into your consciousness and walking out this life in Christ. Paul talks about that in Galatians, about Christ being formed in us. So we know that Christ is in us, but the more we grow in him, the more our minds are renewed in him, the more we find Christ being formed in us, that he's able to rise up in us and manifest his life in fullness. And that's what we're after. We're after experiencing the fullness of Christ. We want Christ-likeness, not half Christ-likeness, but full Christ-likeness in every way in our lives, not by imitation, not because you're trying and striving, but by participating in the very life of Jesus and manifesting that life. It being manifested in you and the glorious freedom that comes with that, and it being manifested through you, which deposits glorious freedom in the lives of those around you. So I want to talk to you about righteousness. Let me just read some scriptures to you from John 16. Now Jesus just tells his disciples, and he tells them this to comfort them, because he said once again that he's going to go away. And he said their hearts was filled with sorrow. And so he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, then I cannot send the helper. This is what he says in verse 7 of John 16. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper shall not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. Listen to what it says about the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they, the world, the lost world, does not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. Now, what happens when Jesus goes to the Father? The Holy Spirit's going to be poured out into those who accept the acceptance, who believe, who put their faith in Christ. And Jesus says that the Holy Spirit's going to convict you of righteousness because you no longer can behold me. I'm not going to be in front of you anymore. Instead, the Holy Spirit's going to come live in you, and he's going to, and therefore my life is going to be made real in you by the Holy Spirit. Instead of me just being with you, I'm going to now be in you. And the Holy Spirit's role in your life is to convict you, convince you of righteousness. Let's see, verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, and remember that Jesus said that he was the truth, and so the Spirit of truth, the helper, has come for us to discover the wonders of the person Jesus, who is the truth about everything. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all things Jesus. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is happening. He shall glorify me. He shall publish, that's the word here, publish me, for he will take what's mine and will disclose it to you. Now, I know that the Holy Spirit can convince us of sin or convict us of sin, but this scripture is not talking about that. There's really nowhere in the Bible that it says that, but we know it's obviously true. Because he convicts us of sin because he's come to transform us. He's placed us in the very life of Christ. We've been grafted into the life of Jesus. We were created in Christ Jesus. You know, we are new creations because we're in Christ. You're new creations in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So you and I have been placed into Jesus. One person has said that we've been woven into the very fabric of Jesus and the life that he lives. You're in him. And because you're in him and you're one with him, of course, he's now in you. There's this commingling, this union with Christ. And so when we think about your lost condition, as a lost person, you were one guilty of sin. And that guilt had to be taken care of. You were also broken. And that's the reason that you sinned, is because you are broken. Guilty and broken. When we went to the cross in Jesus, the guilty sinner, sin was paid for. And the broken, fallen, false self was crucified. And we were raised up now in union with him because he's our rescue. Being woven into the fabric of his life is our rescue. So that now he can live out his life through you and through me. And so when we talk about righteousness, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin. He didn't just pay for your sin. He took on your brokenness. He became your brokenness and at the cross so that he could take the broken you to the place of crucifixion, execution. Sin paid for now. And the broken person crucified, raised up now in Jesus, in union with his innocence and in union with his unbrokenness. So the Father made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. For if by the transgressions of the one, Adam's sin, death reigned through the one, spiritual death, much more, those who are receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. The gift of the righteousness of God in the person of Christ. So, if a lost person is full of guilt and brokenness, Jesus, his righteousness is, we've been woven into his innocence, no longer guilt, no condemnation for those in Christ, and we've been woven into his unbrokenness. And so the Holy Spirit's role in our lives from the on the inside, transforming us into the image of Jesus, is teaching us, renewing our mind about who we are in Christ, our new identity as a new self, as the new creation, the new creature in Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. So the example we would use, we've used lots of examples. But so what happens is when you're walking to a situation, and let's say fear rises up in you, and the Holy Spirit, who's now speaking, not on his own initiative, but speaking the voice of Jesus, he's leading us into all the truth, all things Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. Fear is rising up in me, but what's the truth about Jesus in that moment? So the Holy Spirit speaks in us the voice of Jesus, and Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit then convicts us of the righteousness of Christ, the innocence and the unbrokenness of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit will speak the voice of Jesus in me saying, I'm not afraid here, Chuck. And when I hear that, I go, oh, that's the truth about who I am in you. Because I'm in union with your unbrokenness. And my fear is a leftover because I still am housed in this fallen flesh. And therefore, fear is part of, as a weakness. It's a part of brokenness. But he took that person to the cross and crucified that person, I no longer have to be controlled by that kind of thing, that fear. Instead, I've been joined to the unbrokenness of Jesus, and he doesn't do fear. So when Jesus speaks in me by the Holy Spirit, I'm not afraid here, Chuck. He's inviting me to do what? To put him on, to sink into him, and simply by childlike faith say, thank you, Lord. Of course, we're not afraid here. And you see, what just happened is the Holy Spirit just convicted me of the righteousness of Jesus that I'm in one with. He's just convicted me of my righteousness. He's convicted me. He's not convicting me of trying to make me feel bad about my sin. He's not there rubbing my nose at it because I'm fearful. He's convicting me. He's calling me forth. It's all about transformation. He paid a huge price to rescue us from our fallenness. He paid a huge price that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus. We might experience the wonders of Christ's likeness, the life that Jesus lives. And so he's convicting me of righteousness. That's how he changes you. Because when sin rises up, the rescue isn't about making you feel guilty. It's like the woman caught in adultery. Jesus came to not condemn us. And Jesus said, when all the people who wanted to stone her walked away, he said, does anyone condemn you? And they said, she said, no. She said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We're not transformed by condemnation. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. And when the Holy Spirit says to you things like the voice of Jesus, like maybe your anger's rising up in you, you know, and because somebody's hurt your feelings or whatever. And when you hear the voice of Jesus in you, we live by the words that proceed from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words of Christ. And in that moment, as I abide in him, and the Holy Spirit speaks the voice of Jesus and says, I'm not offended here, Chuck. This just causes me to love that person even more, because they did what they did, said what they said because of their brokenness. And it causes me, I go, yes, Lord, of course. He's just convicted me of the truth of who I am, the righteousness of God in Christ. He's convicted me of the unbrokenness of Jesus that I'm in union with. So I can just sink into that and say, yes, Lord, thank you. And then allow that unbrokenness of Christ, the wholeness of Christ, to come forth, loving this person instead of being offended with them. Now, it's also true about what happens if you blow it. And we can blow it. What does he do? We've been grafted into the innocence and unbrokenness of Jesus. And so when we blow it, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our innocence. Not that we didn't do something, but that my relationship is not broken with God. That God hasn't turned his back on me. I've not been kicked out of the fellowship. You know, that God sees me as holy and righteous in Christ. You with me? The idea isn't about rubbing your nose in it, is to remind you, no, you're innocent before the Father. Now, Chuck, then he speaks the truth in me about righteousness, like why I did what I did, or why I said what I said, or why I was feeling the way I was feeling that I gave into him, so that I can repent, I can start thinking with him again and walking out my true identity. He's not there to condemn me. As a matter of fact, he convicts me of my innocence before God. All my sins are paid for, past, present, and future. I've been reconciled to God. I'm at peace with him in Christ. He convicts me of my innocence and then begins to teach me. He said he would teach me all things in chapter 4, lead me into all the truth. Then he begins to speak to me why I blew it, so that I'll learn, my mind will be transformed. So that the next time that same situation happens, I'll remember who I am in Christ and simply trust in Jesus in that moment in childlike faith and manifest him instead of sin. You with me? God paid a huge price not to walk around with a billy club in his hand waiting for you to blow it so he can beat you up. He paid a huge price for your rescue. He paid a huge price because he created you to have life and life more abundantly. You were created to experience all that he is, all that he has, to be in union with him. And he's determined to do everything he can to convict us and convict us of the truth about who we are in Jesus so that we can walk that out. Because that's what he came and died for. Not just so you would escape hell, so that you would experience eternal life, the ages to come kind of life in the here and now through Christ in you. Okay, well, I trust you have a great day abiding in Jesus, experiencing the wonders of walking in his innocence and his unbrokenness and the joy of all that, to be set free from all those things that identify the old man who's not who you are anymore. You died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is now your life. I pray that the rest of this day will be a testimony to you of the faithfulness of Jesus to live out through you his life of wholeness, his life of unbrokenness. Amen. Amen.